Thousands of people claim that this book should never have been banned from the Bible, whilst others claim it should never be opened again. So who's actually right? Well, before I give you my controversial answer, first, let's investigate. What is the Book of Enoch all about? 365 is how many days there are in a year, and at the end of those days, we get a new beginning. Well, so it was with Enoch. He lived 365 years, and then after that, he got his new beginning, because he was taken up to be with the Lord. And no Christian will ever dispute this fact with you, but the Book of Enoch goes into exceptional detail of what happened once Enoch was taken up. And know this, as I share this information, remember, I'm not sharing this as total fact, I'm just repeating the information from the Book of Enoch. It was an ordinary night, just like any other, when a bright ball of light appeared above Enoch's village. All the villagers were afraid, but Enoch wasn't, and suddenly he found himself being carried up to heaven by an angel called Uriel. Whilst in heaven, the Book of Enoch states that God told Enoch to scribe and to write down all of these important things that he was about to be shown. He was shown the mountains, he saw all the rivers of the world, and then the angel Uriel took Enoch on a tour of the universe. He saw how celestial beings could be transported. He sees the solar system. He sees the lunar cycle. He sees how the length of the Earth's orbital cycle is 365 days. And this is the reason why many people believe that the Book of Enoch must carry a certain weight about it, because most of these scientific discoveries had not yet been found when the book was written in 300 BCE. But hey now, you mustn't forget that there are actually two massive inconsistencies in the Book of Enoch which would actually contradict the Bible. And before I reveal those two things to you, first, let's look at what this book is really famous for. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we read this. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. I wonder now, how many of you were around 3 years ago when I made this video about why I believe the Bible teaches that there were these angelic beings, and these angelic beings looked down from heaven and they saw that the women of earth were very beautiful. So they went in and they had relationships with these women, and from these relationships came these children who were part man, part angel, these hybrid beings that were Goliath-like in size. And when the Lord God saw all of these evil ways, he was very angry, and he poured out his judgment, his water, on all of the earth, on everyone except for Noah and his family, who sought salvation in the ark. I can hear exactly what you're saying right now. You're saying, Joe, how can this be possible? Didn't Jesus Christ himself say that in heaven we will be like the angels, we will not be given to marriage? You're right, Christ did say that. And one day, in the not so distant future, my plan is to do a deep dive on the subject of giants. So if you want to see that video in a couple of weeks' time, please do make sure you subscribe. But right now, watch this, because the Book of Enoch offers a very detailed account of where giants came from. And I want to hear from you. I want you to listen to this account and you tell me whether you think it's accurate or not. According to the Book of Enoch, God sets over the earth certain angels to watch over it, to look after it. Some of these angels were good, but others were bad. And just like the biblical account, some of these bad angels, these celestial beings, they were attracted to the women of earth. And so these angels went down and they messed up the DNA of mankind. In fact, the Book of Enoch raises the bar. It says the reason that these angels were attracted to the women is because they had long flowing hair. And some people take this detail and they believe that's what Paul was doing when he was instructing women to cover their hair whilst praying. Personally, I find that very questionable. But here's the big difference. In the Book of Enoch, we are told that the angels had a leader, they had a boss, and he was called Shemihazar. And he was a rather sly kind of guy. He said, I am really afraid that you guys will back out of what we've agreed to do, and I will be the only angel who gets in trouble with God. So let's make a deal. Let's all bind an oath that we will do this act. And there, with his persuasive words, he convinced 199 angels to fall from heaven and meet him on Mount Hermon. And that is where they begun searching out their targets to create chaos on the earth. What goes through your mind as I tell you this? That here we have these angelic beings who fell from heaven. They saw that the women were beautiful. They went in, and from these relationships, these women gave birth to these hybrid Goliath-like creatures. And then suddenly we now have giant clans all across the earth who are spreading evil. I wonder what you're thinking about right now. Well, it gets even crazier. One of these bad angels was called Azazel, and he is the one who taught the people how to fashion the metals of earth. He taught them how to create shields, armor, and swords. And believers in the Book of Enoch claim that Azazel is the reason why we have fighting between countries today, because he is the one who taught us how to hate. He's the one who taught us to create these advanced technologies and to do these things to one another. So just remember that name, Azazel, because we're going to return to it a little bit later. I did say to you that I was going to show you the two unbiblical errors that the Book of Enoch teaches. Well, it's not just time for that right now, but there is a third one that I do want to draw your attention to. Where do we as Christians believe that sin came from? We believe that Adam and Eve, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when our first father Adam sin. That is why you and I now sin. That is why you and I now do wrong. But the Book of Enoch doesn't teach that. The Book of Enoch would really imply that sin was learned by these fallen angels. As well as Azazel, there was another angel called Sem-Yazar, and he, according to the Book of Enoch, taught the people of earth how to do magic. Then we have the angels Kokabiel, Ezekiel, Arakil, Shamsil, and Sariel. And these all taught the signs of the earth, the sun, the moon, the clouds. And according again to the Book of Enoch, not the Bible, apparently God said to these angels, you must never share this knowledge. It's forbidden. But these angelic beings ignored the advice or the commands of God. And again, this is only according to the Book of Enoch. The fallen angels had succeeded. The earth was now populated with giants. And these giants were doing unthinkable things. They were making a total mess of God's creation. And on top of that, the fallen angels had also completed their goal in teaching men and women idolatry. Because now the humans of earth, they were also doing unspeakable things. They were copying the angelic beings, meaning that anything evil that entered into their mind that they wanted to do, they did it. So, here's my question for you. As you take all of that into your mind, do you think the Book of Enoch should be avoided or honored? Well, we're going to talk about that very soon. In our story, we then meet a handful of men and women who were broken by what these giants had done. They were afraid of them. They did not like the angelic beings, and so what did they do? They cried out to the only one who could help them. They cried out to God, and the Book of Enoch says that the Lord God answered their cry. This ancient text then goes on to say that God called four of his archangels and called them to act immediately. Firstly, he sent the angel Uriel to go and warn Noah to build an ark. Why? Because God was about to flood all of the earth, to wash away all of this sin, and anyone who hid inside of the ark would be safe. Secondly, God sent his archangel Raphael to lock who? Azazel away in darkness. Do you remember how I told you I was going to come back to the angel who taught men and women to do bad things with metal? He taught them how to fight. Well, the Book of Enoch says that Raphael will bind Azazel hand and foot and cast him in a desert called Judael. And it says that when he's cast into this desert, he will be covered in total darkness, so his face will never see the light again. Now, here's an interesting theory that people who believe in the Book of Enoch propose. They say because Azazel was the angel who taught men and women how to fight, and because it says that Judael is located to the east of Jerusalem, there is a river which also is in that area. What is that river called? the Euphrates. And we know that when the Euphrates River, when it dries up, there are four fallen angels who are bound at the bottom of the Euphrates. And when it dries up, those angels will be released. And that's not all. When this river finally dries up, 200 million people will begin marching to fight for a big, big showdown in Megiddo. So the theory that those who believe in the Book of Enoch put forward is this. If Azazel is the angel who taught men and women to fight, would it be possible that he could be one of these four fallen angels waiting for the River Euphrates to dry up? It's just a theory, but it is worth mentioning at this point in the video. Thirdly, the Book of Enoch states that God then sent out his archangel Gabriel to, if you like, delete all of the giants and all of their sons off the face of the earth. And then fourthly, it is said that God sent the archangel Michael out to deal with the boss, the king of the fallen angels. Can you remember his name? Shemihazar. And he too was locked away in a place described as total gloomy darkness. Guys, can I just be a little bit transparent with you? I'm literally just about to tell you on whether we should avoid the Book of Enoch or whether we should honour it and read it. But I do want to just say this. What makes this so confusing, and we're going to come to this in more detail, is there is truth in the Book of Enoch, but then there's also many things that are not in the Bible. And right now we've seen something that is very similar to what the scripture talks about. In Revelation 9, it talks about the abyss, and inside of the abyss are supernatural beings. And I personally believe that as the earth winds down in the final moments, as Revelation 9 says, the abyss will be opened and these bad, evil, supernatural beings will be released on earth. And those people who are still alive will see unthinkable things. Things that aren't even worth thinking about right now. Okay, the first huge error is the Book of Enoch claims that you can pray to Enoch himself. Noah, in the Book of Enoch, is described as having an almost angelic appearance. As he was born, his hair was as white as wool, and his skin glowed like the sun. And unusually, the book claims that Noah could speak perfectly, even though he was just a newborn baby. Now please, everyone look at me, because I really do want to re-emphasize this vital point. The problem with the Book of Enoch is it takes biblical truths and then it mixes it in with what would seem to be absolute total fiction. For instance, we know in the scripture that Noah's father was called Methuselah. That is biblical fact. And we know that Methuselah's dad was called Enoch. So in other words, Noah's grandfather was Enoch. So that is in the scripture. But then what does the Book of Enoch do? Well, it turns it into an error. Listen, the Book of Enoch says that Methuselah, because he looked at Noah's appearance and he was so perplexed by how unusual it was, he then decided to pray to his dad, Enoch, in heaven. And Enoch apparently said, hey, don't worry about it. Instead of calling your son Lamech, change his name to Noah. And don't worry, because God is going to do something new on the earth. He's going to bring judgment, but Noah and his family will be saved. Well, again, there's a truth there. Noah and his family were saved. God did bring judgment on earth. But what's all this about praying to Enoch? Nowhere in the Bible do we ever see any of the characters in scripture pray to someone else in heaven who was not the Lord God. The Bible could not put it any clearer than this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator, there is only one middleman, there is only one bridge by which we can get to heaven, and that is through the God-man, Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus said, I and the Father are one. In other words, I am God in a flesh, I am God in a skin, and he is the only one we can turn to. Not Enoch, not Moses, not any other saint in heaven. We can only turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he alone is the mediator for us. But I'm not going to lie to you, things are about to get a lot worse. In chapter 48 of the Book of Enoch 3, it says that Enoch transformed from a man into an angel called Metatron. And what is particularly wrong about this teaching is that it led others, including the famous rabbi Elisha Ben, to claim that Enoch was a lesser Yahweh, and that actually there were two great powers in heaven, God and Metatron, or God and Enoch. Okay, here is the second biggest error of the Book of Enoch. I want you to imagine that a man or woman who has zero knowledge of the Bible picks up the Book of Enoch. Do you know what conclusion they come to? Pretty much they would be given the impression that salvation can only be achieved by knowledge, by being righteous, and by keeping the words of the Book of Enoch. However, we know that when we read the Bible, we can never get to heaven by being righteous. For the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Book of Enoch literally says, and for all of you sinners, there shall be no salvation. Well, everyone now take a deep breath, because the Bible says something completely different. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In other words, the man who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, though he had written many scriptures, though he had done many mighty, if you like, righteous acts for the Lord God, he was saying, I am the chief of sinners. I'm nothing more than a rotten sinner at heart. And do you know what? Is there anyone listening to my voice right now that can hold up their hand and say, I too am the chief of sinners? If that's you, well, the good news is this. There are only two types of people that get into heaven. Perfect people and forgiven people. Again, I'll ask you, can you raise your hand, anyone listening to me right now, and say, I am perfect? You can't, because there is none that is righteous. No, not even one. We all fail God. Even our thought life, the acts we do, even when we're not even trying to sin. We make such a mess every single day. And if the books are opened and everyone can see our sin and our lives, everyone would be able to agree with us that we are truly worse than we actually think we are. But the wonderful news is this. Christ Jesus loves sinners. Christ Jesus offers salvation to sinners. He came into the world to save sinners like you and me. And it works like this. On an old wooden cross 2,000 years ago, the worst of me, all of my sin, was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of your sin was laid on him. And there God the Father crushed him. There God the Father poured out all of his judgment for our sin on Jesus, so that you and I can be forgiven, so that you and I can have our sins washed away, ripped up, gone, buried at the bottom of the ocean, so that we can now have a fresh start, a new beginning. Just like we've talked about with Noah, how Noah was instructed to get onto the ark, to hide himself in the ark for safety. So you and I, we have an ark, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can hide behind him and have total safety, because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He rose from the dead, meaning he can conquer death and sin. And today he's ascended on the right hand of the Father, and we go to him. No other man, we go to Christ. When you want to pray and ask for forgiveness right now, if you do, you go to Christ. You don't go to a priest, you don't go to a pastor, you don't go to any religious figure. You go to the God-man Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is enough. And the only question I need to ask you right now is, will you do it? Will you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you came here to learn all about Enoch and all these interesting theories and ideas. Well, I've come to tell you something even more precious. You have to meet your God one day. You will wake up one day on the day you die, and you will see your Creator. And you need to know, are you prepared for that day? Because I want on that day you to have a big smile on your face saying, I'm so glad to see my Savior, not be filled with fear, because you know you've spent your life rejecting him. So you call on his name right now. Okay, let's do it. Should the Book of Enoch be avoided, or should it be read? Well, here's my personal opinion. We know that the Book of Enoch's manuscripts date back to 300 BCE. That's 1,200 years after Moses wrote Genesis. So we know straight off the bat that the Book of Enoch was not written by Enoch himself, It's impossible for that to happen. And as far as we know, there are no writings from the time of when Enoch was alive. And unlike the earliest writings by Moses, this is again evidence that it was not written around the time of Moses. When Moses wrote things down, he wrote them down in Hebrew, whilst the book of Enoch is recorded in Aramaic. And above all, remember this: the Bible strongly warns us never to add and never to take away from the Word of God. And I would argue that the Book of Enoch, it does add a whole bunch of things that are never mentioned, not even once, in Scripture. Come on then, between you and me, do you think it's all negative when we think about the Book of Enoch? Well, actually, the late Michael Heiser, who spent a large portion of his life studying this book in much greater detail than my little brain could ever do, he would actually echo that the Book of Enoch, okay, it isn't to be considered as the Word of God. It's not to be in the canon of Scripture, but it is, he would say, a very valuable insight into how ancient Jews used to think. And also, he would say there are many ancient commentaries which were written about it, so it must be important in one sense, as well as the fact that the ancient early church fathers like Tertullian, Clement of Alexander, Irenaeus, all of them held it with high regard, and they saw it as an important part of our history. I also expect some of you, as I've been speaking, you've been saying, Joe, don't forget this. Did not Jude quote from the Book of Enoch? And also, did you know that the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they were discovered, what was next to them? A manuscript of the Book of Enoch. Does that not give it credibility? Well, yes, I actually do believe it does give it credibility. And as I've said, I do believe there are elements of truth in the Book of Enoch. And there is history in there that could be gleaned. But really, what do I want to say in my heart of hearts if a young believer approached me and said, Joe, should I read the Book of Enoch? What would I say to them? I would say, please, just be so very careful. The reason I say that is because of this. I truly do believe that the Lord God is good. I truly do believe that God cares about his children. And when the Bible was put together, do you think that God was just on some distant cloud letting men do it all? Or do you think he guided their mind and put it together to give us the exact information that we need, knowing that this book would be the bestseller, this book would spread across the earth? Do you think he would allow us to have some missing key information? I personally don't. That's not the God I believe in, that allows man to overrule his ultimate final decisions. But friends, listen to me. I also want to say this. The Bible that we do have is deep, is it not? There are mysteries in the Bible that my little brain, if I had 10 million lives, I'd never understand. And so I want to spend my time searching the Scriptures, understanding what I know to be the Word of God, rather than searching a book which does seem to preach a completely different gospel, though it may have grains of truth here and there in it. So guys, please, open your Bibles and spend time on the simple, solid truths that we all need in our hearts, that Jesus Christ died, he's risen from the dead, and that the Word of God is vital and it teaches us how to be men and women of God. And one more final thing. It is important to say, like I say, I feel like I'm saying in every video these days, I am not an expert and I read what you have to say. And if I've missed anything in this, which I will have done, please just graciously write it out in the comments section, because I know I'm constantly getting things wrong. In fact, the latest video I did that just went out this last week, all about the age of the earth, I read so many of your comments and I realized, yes, I did get a few things wrong there, and I did learn some things from all of you guys, who a lot of you are much smarter than me. If you would like to see that video I'm talking about, please check it out, and maybe you can give me some comments. And if you haven't yet subscribed and you found this video helpful, please do subscribe. We'd love to see you again. God bless you all, and thank you for watching.